his tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom. Bad, I want to go to my new friend, Daryl Gibson. He's the Wisconsin Coalition Director for the Harris for President campaign. And you wanted to share a really cool Get Out the Vote event that's happening today. In like an hour, it's starting in Milwaukee, right, Daryl?
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. Yes, we have Dunk for Democracy here on MLK and Chambers at the Clint Rose Senior Center, an early vote site. We'll be officially over 100 feet away at the Bass Sports site. We're going to have the second gentleman of the United States here, Doug Emhoff. We're going to have Governor Wes Moore, first Black governor of Maryland. We're going to have Congresswoman Gwen Moore here, as well as Congressman Meeks from New York. And lastly, we're going to have the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers, and former NBA player and former Bucks head coach, Terry Porter, here, energizing our base, energizing the community. We're going to have free food. We're going to have music. We're going to have a good time today, early voting, and continue this trend of showing up. And for this historical moment, all is welcome. It is completely free. Doors open at 3 o'clock. Again, we're right here on MLK Drive and Chambers here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at the Clint Rose Senior Center. You can't miss us. Yeah, we're excited to have folks come. Come and have a good time with us.
Daryl, thank you so very much, sir. I know you are slammed today and super busy. I'll repeat all the details for you, but go have a damn good time and tell Doc Rivers we're rooting for him.
Go Bucks,
go. Yes, indeed. Go Bucks, go. Great win last night. Great win. Thank you, guys.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, take it easy, Daryl. Thanks so much. Folks, that was Daryl Gibson, head of the Wisconsin Coalition Director for Harris for President. There is an event today, a Get Out the Vote event. It's called Dunk for Democracy. If you're in the Milwaukee area, head on down there now. It officially kicks off at 3, but you're not going to want to miss any of the VIPs they've got there. It's at the Clinton Rose Senior Center on Chambers and MLK Drive. You're going to see Doc Rivers, Doug Emhoff, Maryland Governor Wes Moore, first Black governor of Maryland, and of course, Terry Porter, former Bucks coach and basketball player.
Former Stevens Point basketball player.
Yeah, that too. Yes. So even if you're not from those parts, even if you're not from Milwaukee, if you're driving through, pull on over. They're going to have this great event. And then folks are going to have the opportunity to walk over to the Senior Center, the Clinton Rose Senior Center, and cast your early vote so you can have some fun, get some free food, and get it done. I love that. But Tom, thanks so much for making time. Folks, if you know what is up on the Maggie Dawn Show, you know that when it is Thursdays at 2 p.m., I am joined by a very special co-host, Tom Paulswitz, former congressional candidate. Two times, Tom, you did it twice. Yes.
Twice.
Glutton twice. For punishment, this guy. Yes. Small business owner and Navy veteran. Welcome back, Tom.
Oh, it's good to be here. And, Get Out the Vote. It's really important for people to understand. There's a whole bunch of people who need to be reminded. You know, we remind people of other things in our lives all the time, but you have to get out there, remind people that you need to go vote. You can vote now. You can vote election day. There's a whole bunch of ways to do it. And Maggie, I think you broke that down in Tuesday's show. So just go vote. Yep. I'll be knocking doors the next two weekends just to make sure it happens.
Oh, thanks, Tom. If you see my dad out there knocking doors, say hi to Mike Dawn for me, because he's been doing that as well. Yep. I wanted to take a second and just clock in with each and every one of you and with you, Tom, and get your reactions. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Your reactions to the fact that the DNC headquarters in Arizona was shot up not once, not twice, but three times. And they just today arrested the man allegedly responsible for this political violence. Let's be clear about what this was. And when they arrested him in a suburb of Phoenix, he had more than 120 guns and over 250,000 rounds of ammunition. Law enforcement officials there are saying that it looked like he was planning for a mass casualty event. He also is accused of hanging several political signs lined with razor blades in Ahwatukee, an affluent suburb of Phoenix, where most voters apparently have been voting for Democrats in recent elections. He also hung plastic bags holding a white powder labeled biohazard. Tom, reactions?
Well, first off, there is absolutely no place for violence of any sort. And when it comes to political violence, it's even more problematic because it puts the seed in people's heads that maybe going to vote is a dangerous thing. My wife and I are actually going to be poll workers this year. My wife's been doing it for forever. So I finally decided, yes, I'll get down there and
get in on the action. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, because if you've ever been a poll worker or understand what poll workers do, there's this element of you're trying to make democracy work and to have to be able to think about political violence, or as the Republicans are doing right now, create this mindset of there's going to be poll watchers who aren't there with any other sort but to find people or try to catch people doing things wrong. And it's just the wrong environment. So I think the biggest thing that we need to think about is how do we make sure that people feel safe voting? How do we make people show up to vote? And how do we know that they're participating in a free and fair democracy?
And I'll just say this, we've talked about all those things a ton on the show. And I can say to each and every one of you, Republican friends included out there, my prior job, part of my responsibility was election monitoring when I was formerly the Corporation Counsel for Milwaukee County. So in conjunction and as led by the district attorney's office, myself and usually at least two or three of the other attorneys that I worked with in my office would volunteer to visit and circulate amongst polls to check in with the chief and elections inspector. Do you have enough ballots? Is there anything going on? Any shenanigans, any violence or even threats of violence or intimidation? And I'll just tell you this, there hasn't been any. Yes. People have worn political t-shirts in and people have complained. There's been that kind of a thing.
Yes.
But absolutely, you can vote anywhere in this state safely and your vote will be counted. So please take the time, make the voting plan. Of course, folks, as we talked about yesterday, we got brand new maps across the state's legislature for both the Assembly and Senate. If you are confused, not sure who to vote for, don't know what district you're in, I've got two resources for you. First, civicmedia.us/vote. It's going to help you get all the information about what districts you're in, how to register if you're not already, how to confirm your registration, all that good stuff. And then secondly, at civicmedia.us/voter guide, our good friend and colleague Dan Schaefer, our political editor here at Civic, has broken down all of them, all of the state assembly and Senate elections, because
he's just done a great job of that. And I will just say that when you go to vote, make sure you vote all the way up and down the ballot. Fill out your federal votes, fill out your state votes, fill out your local votes, because every single vote matters, and don't leave a blank.
Yes. And I'll just say these two things. Don't forget, I did this on Tuesday when I did my voter tips. This is not a test. You can bring in whatever reference materials you want
it's
when you go to vote.
It's an open book test is what it is.
It's an open book. Yes. It is not a pop quiz. You can bring in your reference materials. You can even phone a friend.
You can bring a friend. Yes,
you can do whatever you want to help make sure you feel confident in casting your ballot. And I totally agree with Tom's point. But if you come across like the dog catcher or some office that you don't know what the heck it is, that's okay. You can actually leave certain votes blank, and your votes for the ones that you want to vote for will count. Again, not a test. You don't even have to fill the whole thing out, though Tom and I both advise that you should, because you can bring in those reference materials.
Right.
Now, Tom, I have been promising people, and I could think of no one better to have this discussion with than what I am going to call an absolutely bombshell interview that John Kelly did with the New York Times. John Kelly, of course, was Donald Trump's former defense secretary, and then he was his longest serving chief of staff, the guy was in the Oval Office every day right next to Donald Trump. And he's a retired general. Like, this is, he's a conservative, he's a Republican, right? Like, this guy's bona fides and his commitment to this country is indisputable. And what I found so shocking about the interview with the New York Times was not the written word. It was the tapes. It was the recording of the interview with John Kelly that I thought, you can tell the man is absolutely tortured. And Tom, I wondered if you could just explain to people that it is unusual for former command rank officers at that level from any branch of the armed services to talk publicly in support of or in opposition to presidential candidates or candidates in general. First of all, do I have that understanding correct? And can you explain to people why that is, Tom? And folks, if you're just joining us, we've got Tom Paulswitz, former Navy veteran, two-time congressional candidate with us today.
Yeah, Maggie, you're absolutely right. And this is all about chain of command. The last thing you ever want to do is break chain of command and step outside and start to criticize your boss, because it's just not the military way, because the military way is to handle it inside. So the only way John Kelly brings this to the outside world is because he wants us to know.
Yes.
And he thinks it's important for country over party for you to understand that.
We're going to come back with the sounds from John Kelly's bombshell interview with the New York Times to get your reaction and my special guest host, Tom Paulswitz's reaction. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, because this stuff is important. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Back in just a moment. Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves. If you ever get close to welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got my special guest host with me because it's Thursday. His name's Tom Paulswitz, two-time congressional candidate, small business owner, overall reasonable and very smart man, and importantly for today's discussion, a Navy veteran. Welcome back, Tom. Welcome to each and every one of you. We're going to talk about John Kelly's bombshell interview with the New York Times, and let's just jump right in. Folks, if you want to give your opinions, share your reactions, because I had a few, and I'm sure Tom does as well. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Let's just jump right in, shall we, Tom?
Yes.
Let's start, Aaron, if you would. Let's do cut A. This is the longer discussion. This is the reporter that you'll hear first. And then you'll hear John Kelly, Donald Trump's longest-serving chief of staff, a four-star retired general, former Secretary of Defense, concluding that Donald Trump is a fascist. But let's listen to General Kelly.
What do you think? Do you think he's a fascist?
Well, looking at the definition of fascism, it's a far-right, authoritarian, ultra-nationalist political ideology and movement characterized by a dictatorial leader, centralized autocracy, militarism, forcible suppression of opposition, belief in a natural social hierarchy. So certainly, in my experience, those are the kind of things that he thinks would work better in terms of running America. You know, again, back to this issue of, democracy is complicated, messy to operate, probably the worst kind of government there is, except for all the other ones. I think Churchill once said that. And again, our Constitution, our founders built in to the Constitution and to the way our government operates, built in a lot of checks and balances, and didn't design the government to be streamlined and whatnot. So, but certainly, the former president is in the far right area, certainly an authoritarian, admires people who are dictators. He has said that. So he certainly falls into the general definition of fascist, for sure.
That's General John Kelly, Donald Trump's longest serving chief of staff, saying he's a fascist, Tom.
Yeah, I think when you listen to that, what you hear is that, you know, the founders of our country had a hard time realizing that we as voters would actually elect a fascist. So there were some checks and balances put in place. But as John Kelly's saying, he's saying that there aren't enough checks and balances. There also need to be other guardrails. And those guardrails ended up being him and a few other people within government that had to push back and say, no, even though you think you have the right to do these things, they're unconstitutional and we're not going to let you do them. Without those people in place, we don't know what Trump really would have done, especially during the Black Lives Matter movement. And I think when you take a step back and listen to what John Kelly is saying, he knows this man. He was with this man daily,
every day,
for a year and a half. And so he is intimately involved with how Donald Trump thinks. And if you think that Donald Trump doesn't think this way, or he just says whatever's top of mind, what John Kelly is telling you is, no, this is exactly what he thinks. And more importantly, this is what he wants to do when he has power.
And this time around, he's going to have a bunch of yes men and supplicants like J.D. Vance, who has gone on the record and said, no, he would not have done his constitutional duty as vice president. He would have not done what Mike Pence, he would not have done. There's the correct grammar, Maggie.
Yes, he would not have done. Right.
What Mike Pence did. I mean, truly shocking. Let's take cut B, Aaron.
If he was left to his own devices, would he be a dictator if he didn't have people around him?
Oh, I think he'd love to be. I think he'd love to be just like he was in business. He could tell people to do things and they would do it, and not really bother too much about what the legalities were and whatnot. But again, I didn't know him before, so I can't really.
Yeah. Yeah. He will be a dictator if the people Yes. around him permit him to be one. That is what he's saying, right, Tom?
Exactly. That is exactly what he's saying. He's saying that left to his own devices, he will break the constitutional authority that he has. Here's the thing, though, is before, with the guardrails in place, these people were able to stop what he was doing. Without those guardrails, there's going to have to be a lawsuit or some other mechanism to hold Trump accountable. And previously impeachments didn't work because the rest of the Republicans didn't feel like what he was doing was wrong. But in the big picture is he will take action using whatever means necessary to protect himself over the citizens of this country.
We're going to take care of a few messages in a moment. Folks, we want your opinions just as much. 855-752-4842, especially if you disagree with Tom and I. That is really important. Let's talk about why you disagree. We just got a text. We're going to, from the 920, we're going to talk about that text when we come back. Texter, I appreciate you. I appreciate you voicing your disagreement. But Tom and I are going to take up your disagreement on the other side. There's like 8 bits of the interview that the New York Times has shared with the public. To every single person out there, if you consider yourself a patriot and an American, you owe it to yourself to go listen to the interview. We will include the link to the New York Times article in today's show notes, especially if you are a Trump voter and you think all of this is a bunch of garbage and propped up. Listen to John Kelly. This is a 4-star retired general. His longest serving chief of staff, his prior defense secretary, handpicked by Trump. The guy is a Republican. Why would John Kelly lie? It doesn't make any sense. And by the way, as Tom explained, every single thing in his military career has told him and trained him not to do the thing that he's doing. That's the expectation, but the threat to country is so great. We'll include it in the show notes. You can find those at civicmedia.us. I'm going to come back with Tom Paulswitz, my special guest host today, Navy veteran, all-around reasonable man. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Here on the Civic Media Radio Network, we continue with the bombshell John Kelly interview when we come back after these important messages. Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your host, Maggie Dawn. And I've got a great guest host with me today, Tom Paulswitz. He's a two-time 5th District Congressional candidate, small business owner, and Navy veteran. We're talking about the bombshell New York Times John Kelly interview. We're going to post a link to the interview coverage from the New York Times, which has within the article all of the links to the audio. It's also been picked up and is now running in every major news outlet. So, you know, Google it too. That works. But we'll have the direct link in our show notes. You can go there at civicmedia.us post show. Your comments and thoughts are welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Let's listen to some more of the interview, and then I want to take up some of the feedback that we've gotten from one of the callers, texter from the 920, who said this, a bombshell interview, ? Ha ha, more like suppression of opposition. Sounds like the Biden administration. All are false accusations of Trump. What a biased opinion, ! We're going to take that up, but let's listen to a little bit more of this interview because it is really important. Why don't we take cut C, Aaron? Let's just go through them. Thank you, sir.
And I think this issue of using the military to go after American citizens is one of those things I think is a very, very bad thing, even to say it for political purposes to get elected. I think it's a very, very bad thing, let alone actually doing it.
So you're saying when you saw him say that recently, and as he said on the campaign trail, that was something that really concerned you to the point that you thought, as you sat there trying to figure out what to do, you thought maybe it's worth answering some questions about this.
Yeah, it is. And I go back to George Washington and how he set up before there was an America, how he set it up so that the military would stay out of, would not be used in the United States or in the domestically, and that the way forward was for military officers not to be involved in politics. And again, unless you're someone like me or Mattis or, you know, people like that, that retired from the military or left the military, like Mark Esper or Mike Pompeo, and then go into a political job, whether it's elected or you know, assigned by the White House, it's a little bit different because you're then involved in it. But for the most part, you just, and that's why I'm so hesitant to talk. It's certainly never to tell or recommend to an American who they should vote for, because now that I'm out of the political job, I'm back to being pretty much a retired military officer who should not get too involved in this kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, until the former president started talking about this, and this goes back to my, when I was in the White House, for that matter, DHS, I was, originally, conversation would be, Mr. President, that's outside your authority, or, that's a routine use. You really don't want to do that inside the United States. But now that he's talking about it as I'm going to do it is again, it's disturbing.
Again, that's John Kelly in his bombshell interview with the New York Times. He doesn't understand that there are legal limits to what a president can do. And Donald Trump has undertaken every opportunity. And now he has a staff of enablers to basically control the entirety of the U.S. government. That's not what we have. We have three branches of government. Let's listen to Cut D.
I mean, is he the biggest threat to the country that you've seen in your life out of all the threats, like post 9/11, all these different things?
Well, I think he's certainly the only president that has all but rejected what America is all about and what makes America America in terms of our Constitution, in terms of us, our values, you know, the way we look at everything, to include family and government. And he's certainly the only president that I know of that was certainly in my lifetime that was like that.
And here's, we got it. Let's take the shorter version of Cut F. This is Cut F1, Aaron, on Hitler.
He commented more than once that, you know, that Hitler did some good things too. And of course, if you know history, again, I think he's lacking in that. But if you know what Hitler was all about, it'd be pretty hard to make an argument that he did anything good.
So what would you say when he said to you that Hitler did a lot of good things?
Well, I tell him that. I said, you know, sir, first of all, you should never say that. But if you knew what Hitler was all about from the beginning to the end, everything he did was in support of his racist, fascist life, philosophy, so that nothing he did you could argue was good. It was certainly not done for the right reason. And but he would occasionally say that.
What would he say when you would lay that out to him?
He'd just, you know, that'd be the end of the conversation usually.
Wow. And finally, let's take Cut G1.
Does he have disdain for the disabled?
Well, certainly his not wanting to be seen with amputees that lost their limbs in defense of this country, fighting for every American, to him included, to protect them, that didn't want to be seen with them. that's an interesting perspective for the commander in chief to have.
Why didn't he want to be seen with them?
He would just say, look, it doesn't look good for me. So anyways, I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist. If you're a psychiatrist, I guess you could take a stab at some of these questions, but I'm not.
I mean, wow. So let's take a beat. Tom, just your reactions, and then I want us to take up some of these comments. And folks, if you've got comments, thoughts, if you disagree with the alarm that Tom and I feel about this, we want to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Tom.
I guess to start with, the most disturbing part is that somehow people don't believe when he says these things, because he's been consistent. I mean, he's always been speaking this way. He's always praised authoritarians, you know, but the disturbing part is when he doesn't find a favorable audience. And that was the one thing I just took from one of those last clips. When he doesn't find a favorable audience, he stops speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean he's changed his mind. It means that he's looking for a more favorable audience to find. And if you think about what he's been doing for the last 4 years, it's exactly what he's been running on. He's been running on finding a more favorable audience. And
well, and if I can very briefly, Tom,
go
that's
ahead,
why
jump right in.
That's why step one of Project 2025 is to remove lifetime civil servants and replace them with personally loyal individuals. That is why it is step one. It's why J.D. Vance admires Curtis Yarvis, who has said repeatedly, you just forcibly retire everyone out of government and any important role and you install loyalists and we got to get over our dictator phobia. That's Curtis Yarvis, who J.D. Vance quotes frequently. I'm sorry, yes. Tom, please go ahead.
Well, and I guess to respond to the texter that you had talked about previously,
yes.
That is the usual conclusion that you will hear from his most ardent supporters as that it's a lie, right? Here's John Kelly lying about his year and a half of service under Trump. He, you know, obviously he's not telling the truth. I even don't though Trump
why
has
would
said
he
it.
Lie?
Right.
Like,
even though Trump
has said,
said
this. Yes. Right, over.
And this is the best part about what John Kelly is saying. This is nothing that we didn't already hear through another channel. Right. We've heard all the same things over and over again, but people still don't believe it. And then when they hear Trump say it, they say, well, he doesn't really mean it. And when it gets past that he does really mean it, they always go back to there will be guardrails in place to keep him from his worst impulses. But what's happening is those guardrails are not going to be there from day one.
Yeah, the Supreme Court just gave him a literal gold-plated get-out-of-jail-free card, and he's got the list of the supplicants ready to go on day one. If you don't believe or you think John Kelly is biased, what about Mark Milley, who confirmed earlier, again, chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a retired general, who said and confirmed earlier this month in a piece for The Atlantic, and then it's been repeated, he said this, quote, no one has ever been as dangerous to this country as Donald Trump. I realize he's a total fascist. He is the most dangerous person to this country, a fascist to the core. And the texter from the 920 pointed out, you can't deny that there's a border crisis. Let's just grant you that. I think the Biden-Harris administration could have done a much better job. I think there is apologizing and explaining to do there, and we need to do better. But let's hear from John Kelly about whether or not character in this moment matters more than policy. Aaron, it's cut. Go ahead.
I'm not recommending anything to anybody. I'm just saying, other than that, when you're looking to vote for someone, regardless, you got to look at the character and all of those kind of things, and then start looking at the individual's policies. We can always, you know, even if you're a conservative Republican, you know, much of what's gone on the last 3.5 years hasn't been what you've wanted to have happen to the country. But, you know, we can get by it because you might have, you know, a Republican come in the future. But if a person's character isn't at least minimally acceptable, then I think that person can do a lot more damage. I just wish at the end of all of this, whoever wins, that person and the leadership in the country, certainly the political leadership in Washington to include the House and Senate, that people say, okay, let's take a breath. Let's step back. This has been really, really hard. Let's try to come back together as Americans. Stop hating each other just because we have a difference of opinion on political issues. I just hope we do that somehow. I don't know if we will, though, but I hope we will. I hope whoever becomes the president will start that process. Let's become friends again.
The texter from the 920 now texting in that Harris has no policy plans and that Trump does. We're actually going to talk about that perception in this hour, texter. So please do not go anywhere. Keep listening. Again, you got John Kelly, you got General Mark Milley, you got General McMaster. Like, you want, this is the guy that Trump said was basically out of central casting. Or was that General Mattis? All of these men have said they all worked for him, handpicked by Donald Trump, conservatives.
Men.
The manliest of men. Yes.
These are not toxic males. They are pointing out the fact that this person, you know, and going back to immigration, is immigration an issue because Donald Trump wants to make it an issue to create the illusion that fascism is the only solution? Or is immigration really an issue for most people?
But
the bottom line.
I don't even like to talk about it, but it's like, let's just grant you that to take it off the table so we can talk about
but
this.
Let's solve it. Let's not pretend like we don't have a solution because we do have a solution.
And she said she would sign on day one if Congress adopts it. Yes. The strongest, though imperfect, and P.S. all legislation
bipartisan.
Is imperfect. Right. Bipartisan border bill that we've seen in 25 years.
Let's
start getting stuff done with someone who doesn't want to be a fascist dictator and who is manifestly unfit. I mean, come on. We're going to talk about this perception that, like, oh, she doesn't have any policies. She does. Go to the web, Kamala Harris, and check them out. Like, read. There's a Google. There's this thing called the interwebs. We'll talk about these perceptions and the polling and all this garbage that's getting spewed from the right. When we come back, I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Tom Paulswitz, my special guest host. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, joined by my special guest host, Tom Paulswitz. Again, the texter from the 920 saying, why can't she speak to these policies? I've watched her cringeworthy interviews. Well, you probably haven't watched all of them, and I would rather have someone who's slightly inarticulate in what their policies are. Wait. You think that Kamala Harris is less articulate than Donald Trump? Like, what? I don't even know what to do with that. But I wanted to focus, Tom, on this idea. There's these perceptions, and I think people, you know, like, is that actually real? No, she's got detailed policies. Tom and I could rattle off a bunch of them. $25,000 for low-income first-time homebuyers, increasing the child tax credit to $6,000, taxing the rich, meaning the really, really rich. You know, people like Elon Musk, billionaires, yeah, taxing them more, raising the minimum wage, right? Federal support for child care.
Lowering taxes for those making less than
$400,000 a year. Oh, and increasing the small business federal grants from $5,000 to $50,000, and creating also some tax credits and tax deductions for small business owners. I mean, come on, man. Like, that's off the top of my head. Here's what's happening. Go ahead, Tom. My bad.
Well, so unless your 920 caller or texter is extremely wealthy, all of her policies are meant to help you. So if you want to read those policies and then pick and choose which ones are going to help you, there's at least a few in there. But if you read Donald Trump's policies, you will not find one that is meant to help you.
And in fact, when we talk about the billions in tax breaks that Donald Trump already gave to his buddy Elon Musk, my next guest texter, you're going to want to stick around for, because his name is John Cerotta. He is the founder and editor-in-chief of a publication called The Lever that talks about corporate corruption. There's a reason that Elon Musk is stomping for Donald Trump and trying to get a cabinet position,
yes,
because it's going to get him, excuse me, David, not John, it's going to get him billions in tax breaks. David Cerotta is going to explain that. But here's what I wanted to share with you, texter, and everybody else out there that's listening. First of all, there is a New York Times policy guide that has drill downs and literally places Donald Trump's policies right next to Kamala Harris's policies. It is not an analytical piece. It is not analysis. They're not picking which ones are better. It is just a guide so that you can put the policies on every single issue right next to each other. Caller from the 920, Mary from Mount Hora, Robert from West Allis, Mark from Prairie du Sac, Kurt from Madison. I'm going to try to get to your comments, but all of you out there, especially my friend from the 920, that link to that article will be in the show notes today. You're going to want to go check that out. Like, don't please. You want to know, please?
And do your own research on the policies.
We're also going to put a link to the analysis that the Washington Post just provided. It was an analysis of a poll done by Politico. And what the poll wasn't trying to do was ask people, do you support Kamala Harris or Donald Trump? What the Politico poll did is it asked 900 plus, a statistically significant sample of Americans. It listed 128 policies out. And it asked people to say, do you strongly, that range from strongly agree to strongly disagree with each and every one of those 128 policies. And do you know what they found, texter from the 920, my friends that think they support Donald Trump? They found that more Republicans self-identified Republicans and self-identified Trump voters actually support the policy provisions and proposals from Kamala Harris than they do from Donald Trump. We're going to put the link to that analysis from the Washington Post in today's show notes. I want to repeat that. When they analyzed the actual policy preferences of voters across 128 distinct policy positions, more Donald Trump voters liked more of Kamala Harris's policy positions than they did Trump. So you owe it to yourself out there, folks. Read the New York Times policy guide and then check out the Washington Post analysis of that political poll. Your reaction to that, Tom?
Well, when you remove the D and the R from the policy, what you find is what policies you really like. And if you started there instead of started with your political party, it'd be a lot easier to make your decision. So all Mahey's really saying is take a step back, ask yourself, what policies will benefit me and my community? And then look to see what candidate matches up to that.
Yeah. We're not going to be able to get to some of the analysis that I wanted to do of some of what's going on in polling, but I will cover that tomorrow. So you're going to want to come back in because, listen, what's happening in the way that polls are being talked about on the right is part of the big lie 2.0. So I'm going to break that down for you tomorrow. Tune back in. Kurt from Madison, you're up. What do you have to say?
Yes, for those of us that serve, we all swear to protect and serve against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Obviously, General Kelly forgot what the meaning of that is. He's come too late to the show. I think he should be heavily scrutinized and not even respected for that matter. But, you know, I would like you, Tom, to reply to the oath that the president swears and what we swear. Because enemies, domestic and foreign, well, last time I checked, fascists were our enemies.
Tom, we got just about 30 seconds.
Well, as I understand what you're saying, then what you're saying is John Kelly shouldn't be bringing this up, but he's bringing it up because he believes this is potentially an enemy from a domestic enemy, not a foreign enemy. And all he's doing is saying, look up, do your own research. Here's my opinion. Do your own research. Ask yourself, is this a man of character that I would want to vote for? Because I know of somebody who has the character that Donald Trump has, I would not want to vote for them.
I just hope it's not too little, too late. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by David Serrato. We're going to talk about his bombshell, that's the word of the day, article about Elon Musk's billion-dollar tax breaks, courtesy of Donald Trump. He's got more coming.
Yes.
It's the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, y'all. We'll be back after news, weather, and sports at the top of the hour. So